set that as your, y'all set that as your alarm clock this week? That song, like Dan recommended. So we're going to have a little fun tonight. You know, I love this time of year. It's an amazing season where you get to spend time with family and friends and hang out with people that you normally don't see. Sometimes it's easy for people to see a version of yourself that you kind of put out there, and maybe a pretend version or like the best version of yourself. But I don't know about you, but I was like extremely challenged this weekend because Dan really challenged us to live from the Christ within us, and that's the real us, right? But so many times we fake our behavior, we put on our best behavior, our best foot forward, so to speak, in an attempt to try to be something that we aren't. But really, that's who we truly are. You know, when we're living out of that true identity of Christ, we won't just bite our tongue when somebody, you know, offends us. We'll become unoffendable. And man, that was just something that really spoke to me and ministered to me a lot this weekend. And I thought to myself multiple times, how is this even possible? Like, I don't know. I get frustrated by the littlest things, and particularly like one little thing that's like 2 years old in my house that frustrates. And you parents, you people who live with other folks in your house, you know this all too well. And yet, how do we in the stillness of our homes, in the quiet of the moment, in even in the midst of chaos, how do we live out of that true identity that's Christ? And, you know, he painted a good picture of what it's supposed to look like. And he even gave us the antidote. And it's really, it really is knowing Christ and making him known. And at the same time, I'm thinking, how do you do this? I don't know that I have 6 hours in a day to pray, you know, and get alone in my quiet closet with the Lord, you know? And you wonder, what does Paul mean when he writes in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray continually or pray without ceasing? And I believe that it's this continual attitude where you're open to him. Your heart is an open space. He can write whatever he wants to on your heart. His word can be written on your heart and can flow out of your mouth, that you're in this constant state. So even when things tend to rub you the wrong way, that what oozes out of you is the love of God. What oozes out of you is the word of God, because you've so hidden it in your heart that you might not sin against him. And yet, practically speaking, how are we able to do this, you know? And was anybody else challenged in that way this past weekend? And I love the way he painted the picture is like, hey, don't feel condemned about what he's talking about. Don't feel condemned, but feel enlightened. Feel challenged to the point that you can change and you can know Christ like Dan knows Christ. And so what I thought we would do is, you know, one of the scriptures that I've been reading, meditating on is Ephesians 5. And I want to read this. Put it up there for us. It says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with eggnog, with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. But one of the things that he talks about there in the book of Ephesians is speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And I believe there's something that happens when we come together. We all experienced it this weekend, and I know people are probably like overly exhausted, and that's why we are the faithful and the few and the proud here tonight, and that's okay. You really want to know him. And those of you who are watching in your PJs by the fireplace, we love you too. We're glad that you want to know him via live streaming. But what I thought we would do is I want to kind of open the floor and for you to tell us, man, what is God challenging you in lately? What did you get out of the weekend of transformation? What is he inspiring you to change in your life? What was the thing that spoke to you the most that you've been meditating on? And just kind of open the floor tonight You may have come and wanted to just hear some more preaching, but you know Wednesday nights for a little while we've been participating and doing these discovery Bible studies and learning about persons of peace. And so just in that manner, I want to open the floor, but you do have to come up here because I want everybody to hear you on the microphone. Because we do have people in their PJs that are watching, okay? But they need to be encouraged as well. So who's got something? Come on up here, Mary. Awesome. What you got?
Well, there were a lot of things, but the one that stuck the most with me was Friday night.
Yeah.
When my husband and I both prayed for people, and both of the people were healed. And I've been in a lot of places where people have prayed for healing, and they've talked, and they've talked, and they've talked, and they've prayed, and they've prayed, and they've said all these phrases and all this stuff and gone on and on and on. And I've thought, well, gee, maybe I don't know how to do all that stuff. And he gave us a six-second prayer. And then we went the next day, and we prayed for somebody in the restaurant. She said, only pray for me if you pray in the name of Jesus.
Wow, yeah.
But sure. and we did. And it's like, I feel liberated to go out and do that when wow. I didn't before because I was afraid I would do something wrong and not do it right and just, you know, put my foot in something.
Praise God. Thank you. That's amazing. Yeah, I mean, yeah, we can applaud that. That's awesome. Yeah, and you can live free to do that and have no fear in ministering to people, ministering to the sick, especially for like not knowing what to say. I mean, yeah, how simple that was on Friday night. And then for you guys to follow it up the next day. Praise the Lord. All right, who else? You can just sit in this awkward silence for a few minutes. Well, I might just walk around and stick the mic in your face. How about that? I'm going to stick it on this young lady's face right here. Hey, Gabby.
Hey.
Hey.
Thank you.
Al's following us. There we go. Okay. Hey, so what challenged you this weekend, and what did the Lord speak to you about?
I think one of the biggest things that I learned from Dan, what he brought, was like the exposing of just lies and deception that we've like really have built up in our heart for so long. We've been taught like all these traditions and just ways that we do things as men just here on earth, and it's not necessarily truth. Yeah. And so it was really good and refreshing to see truth and how that really uncovered and exposed a lot, and then it really just opened us up for more unity. That's what I was really, really excited about. That's what I took away from it. I was kind of excited for like the bigger picture of yeah. everything and how that one thing affects so many other things.
Yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Yeah, one thing that he continually said was, like, where did you learn that? Where did you learn that behavior? Like, that you were homeschooled in the wrong home. Like, I love that phrase. Like, we, because of the fall, we've inherited so many bad traits. And yet, in Christ, we've been redeemed. Hey, I'm going to come to you because I heard you say something. You got a baby in your lap.
There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end of, but what got me was, nobody owes me anything.
Yeah.
Because every time I think I'm about to be offended, nobody owes me anything. So I like that. And then another thing, not to like, but you know, like the first night you hear everything and how he lives, and you know, you can take our bullets because it flows so flowing.
Rapid fire.
But then the next day when he explained that he walked this out through the trials that he had in his own life. And I don't know about you, but I can identify with trials in my own life. So I know. And so, you know, of course it's possible because the word tells us it's possible, yeah. you know. But that really is what every morning, like he said, I get up. No one owes me anything. I am the righteousness of God, and heaven is in me.
That's good. So, that's good.
There's more, but I'll stop there.
Yeah. Amen. What do you got, Grace? What you got? We'll come to you in a couple more years, okay? That's great. I mean, that was another truth that should, man, we should apply that in our lives. No one owes me anything. And then I've been meditating on that too. It's like, you know, Romans talks about, owe no man anything but to love him. And so the flip side is, no one owes me anything, but I don't owe anybody else anything but love. Unless you're in debt, then, you know. Okay. What else? Mary, you got something else? I'm going to come back to you.
For me personally, it's a question of focus. I know what he said is true. Mm-hmm. And I know it in myself, and I hear other people get so distracted preaching about other things. But the love of God and the joy that we have in the Lord is basic to who we are. Mm. And it's so easy to forget and get distracted with something else. And so that's a determination I have, is to keep it in focus.
Mm, that's good. Is this encouraging? Is this encouraging to you tonight? This is good stuff.
I can't let Mary upstage me. When I got out of the Army in 1974, I was in a kind of a bad place. I gave my heart to the Lord unreservedly. It wasn't long after that, in the middle of the charismatic movement, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit and had a prayer language. I was so excited. Everywhere I went, it was Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You know, at work, I've had people make fun of me a little bit, and I was the Jesus guy, you know. And it's like, in the church I was in, a denominational church, it's like, why isn't everybody like this? Why aren't they excited? Well, that was 74, and I've aged a little. And over the years, I've got a little jaded, and there's been times when I've wanted that fresh fire, that what I had then. And Dan reminded me of that. That's what Mary and I have been doing. We even had an opportunity to pray last night. That's another story. We're determined to walk with the Lord and for the Lord, walk in the Spirit.
Yeah. Amen. Well, tell us about what happened last night.
Well, we the venue was actually if you've heard of Rivergate Ministry, we went over there to pray with the folks. And we were an hour late. They had started at a different time than we thought. But there was a lady there that we know. She's a Christian lady. And we got to pray for her for healing. And so it wasn't a wasted trip.
So, praise God.
Yeah.
Amen. And he's going to use you, both of you, more and more in laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover. It's his desire for all of us. Amen. Sharon, hey, you're going to have to come down. Come up front. Yep. Come on.
So, there was a larger crowd. I probably wouldn't tell y'all this. But I had a very hard time, actually, with Dan Moeller the first night, but more so Saturday morning. And Gabby, she saw me in the back. I wasn't well. I don't know what it was, but him preaching was doing something to me. And it was like something in me was distorting what he was saying. And it was causing me some pain. I think I was in the back. I got off the chair and I was just sitting on the ground and I was just crying and crying and crying. And nobody knew, and I didn't want anybody to know, because I just was like, what's going on? And I honestly wanted to get out of here pretty quickly. And as soon as he was done, I mean, I was a mess. Gabby walked back there. Jamel was just kind of like, what's going on? Brian's just like, what's going on? And I'm just like, just let me, something's going on. I don't know what, but I'm dealing with it right now. Something's happening. But as soon as the service was over, I mean, I was just an emotional mess. And I came and found Kimberly, and I was like, I got to get out of here. And she walked me out. And I mean, I could barely get out the door. And in the parking lot, I saw, or Mark, I don't know if y'all know Mark from Grace Place, but I've been going there for about 5 to 6 years when we've had traveling ministers come into town. And there's been a lot of emotional healing for me happen there. Out there in the parking lot, I mean, I'm just hunched over, just wailing. And nobody saw me because everybody was in here. And Kimberly called Mark over, and he prayed for me, and I got delivered of something. And it manifested actually about a week earlier with one of my friends, and she was saying something, and once again, it was like my ears, they weren't hearing properly. I don't know what it was. It was just distorting the truth. I don't know if this is making any sense to you. But I came back on Saturday night. This all happened on Saturday, and I know I was changed because I sat through the whole evening, and I was content, I was fine, and I was able to hear everything he was saying. And if you know me, when I first came to the church, I was dealing with quite a bit of some emotional torment, and a lot of it has gone away. But it was just like, I guess there was a little bit left in there. And, you know, sometimes that comes layer by layer off. I don't know if you know. And it takes a while. You strip away layer by layer. And you know, I came in here, and Saturday night was my test. Could I sit through the whole thing? And I did, and I was at peace. And what he was saying, I understood what his heart was saying. And there was nothing twisting or distorting the truth. And it was just like, oh my gosh, I can hear. All this time, something's been going on, and that's like, I feel like I'm just reading scripture. For the first time, I can actually hear. And Mark called me later to check up on me, and he said, you know, Sharon, I see an image of you. And he said, in this image, you're laughing because I see all these demons hitting a dead person. So basically, you know how we all get transformed, we die, and then we're raised up in new life. Well, he knows how, my history, because it comes out a lot there on the farm. We call it Grace Place. It's really on a farm. But basically, in the vision, I've already been transformed. I'm dead, and I'm, you know, there's the tormentors, and they're just sitting there tormenting, and I'm over there just like, you can't hurt me. That I'm dead. You're hitting a dead person. I'm over here, and I'm laughing because they're trying to hit a dead person, and that's hilarious. And we should be laughing at Satan, because technically, when we are transformed, we are made in a new life, and you know, we should be protected and in love. You know, just shouldn't come to us like that. Torment shouldn't affect us. And I've been reading on 1 John, because finally, after I had that gone, I could actually hear what he was saying. He talked about, you know, how we approach some relationships and how we behave. Talks about how, you know, we're not loving. Love, it's not love, it's need. And so I really want to get to the point, and I'm sure you do too, that we are giving of his love. And regardless of the situation and regardless of the hate, you know, because I feel like the more we are transformed in love, the more the hate's going to come, because the world, yeah, it's going to come. But I want to get to that point. And I just was reading last night and I saw this verse. It says, if we love our Christian brothers and sisters, it proves that we have passed from death to life. So, you know, that's the goal for me, is to get to the point where I'm fully remade in His love. And I know when I am acting the same way that Jesus did, giving that love, I have fully gone from death to life.
Wow. Amen. Yeah, what a work He did in you. Man, that's amazing. Yeah, when we're born again, immediately our spirit is transformed, but our mind needs to be renewed to the truth. And I think that's one reason we have things that that remain from our old way of life, remnants, if you will. And when they're confronted with truth, like we were confronted with this past weekend, it's like they're going to rise up and say, hey, what's going on here? I'm trying to hold on for dear life, and truth is coming to say, no, the freedom is coming. Freedom is here. And that's what Sharon had experienced. And, you know, people can be saved for years and years and years and yet still have vices from their old way of life. And it's because they haven't allowed the truth to transform them and set them free from those various things or behaviors or attitudes, anger, various things. And so those things can kind of rear their ugly head at moments, and then you think afterwards, you look at your behavior afterwards, and you're like, that wasn't even me. You know, anybody relate to that? It's almost like a thing like, where did that come from? You know, and then we try to rationalize it, or we try to, I don't know about you, but I get defensive a lot, particularly in my relationship with my beautiful, loving wife, who only wants the best for me and believes the best in me, and yet I take things the wrong way. Anybody ever been there? And so you begin to get defensive, and then what does defensive do? It puts up a wall, and then you can go on the offensive and attack, you know, in various ways. And so, you know, Dan talked a lot about marriage this weekend. And, you know, loving your spouse like Christ loved the church, and, you know, not needing anything from them, but to display the love of God to them. And I tell you, man, the enemy comes immediately to steal the word, doesn't he? It's so funny because he talked about that, like, even after your church, you're going to leave here, you're going to have an argument over where to eat or whatever. We didn't have an argument over where to eat, but it's an insignificant argument. I felt myself, like, getting angry. And like, what is this? Where is this coming from? I just heard this incredible message that challenged me and wanted me to transform from death to life, from darkness to light. And yet this old thing is trying to hang on here. And, we don't always get it right. But if we allow the love of God to transform us, spend time in His presence, open ourselves to Him and meditate on the love of God, then we'll see transformation. And we'll let messages like that and what we experienced this weekend challenge us to the point where we say, well, yeah, I've got to change here. And it may be like you may think you're okay. I came into the weekend thinking I'm okay, you know. I'm not cussing, I'm not drinking, I'm not smoking, I'm not doing, you know, chewing and running with those who do. Like, I'm okay. But then you come in here and I'm like, well, no, I'm not living at the level that Jesus died for me to live. There's so much greater potential in us. And I think that's one thing that really, it's almost like He was pleading with us, calling us to a higher place. And I never once felt condemned. I felt challenged. I felt like, ow, I got to do better. But I also felt like His Spirit is there to empower me to do better. And as we pray at the end of every service, just, you know, offer myself once again to Him, and then realizing how selfish we truly can be. Did that hit anybody? Like, die to self, you know, that's a big thing. And it's something that we must do daily, because self tries to creep in. Self tries to come back from the grave. And Sharon, self is, the old self is going to try to rise back up, you know, and the demons are attacking, and you're laughing. And you're laughing because, yeah, self is dead. Been crucified with Christ, yet I no longer live, but Christ within me. And allow that to be our mentality and our mantra and our model for living. And we can walk this thing out. And guess what, guys? Augusta needs us to walk this thing out. Your world needs you to walk this thing out. Your world needs you to be the transformation that they are so desperately longing for in their lives. They need that. They need that in you. All right. Shared enough. Who else? Tanya, come here. I know Happy Dan was speaking to you, stepping on your toes. Come on. I'm going to wake him up.
Well, to be honest, it was overwhelming.
Yeah.
It was very overwhelming. It was like sitting there and a machine gun was going off. I mean, honestly, it was really like a machine gun was going off. And, I mean, and like you, I was so challenged about what he was saying about walking in love, and that, you know, that his kingdom is on the inside of us, and that is love, and responding in love and not taking. Oh my gosh, it was so much. The Lord has led me to be reading in Isaiah, the book of Isaiah. If you haven't read it, it's one of the most phenomenal books in the Bibles to me. I love it. And so I've kind of been reading in Isaiah and in John. And about 2 weeks ago, I guess it was about 2 weeks, as I was reading in John, it was in chapter 3 because I looked it up just a minute ago, the scripture that says, I must decrease and he must increase. And I read that, and I already had it marked in one Bible, but I'm reading a new one. So it just, you know, I remarked it, and I just was really thinking about that, just sort of meditating on it. I've got to, you know, I need to decrease. He needs to increase. And then coming in here and hearing that, I'm like, Lord, that's what that means, that I've got to let go of self and learn what it truly means to be in you and to walk in love. And I think one of the things that's kind of sticking out in my mind right now was how he was talking about praying, like, for your family. Just talking about, you know, not so much that we complain to God about our family. You know, we pray the word. But, you know, it's like not just praying the word. It's just telling God, God, you love them. You cherish them. You know, I know you're working in their life. And that was a real challenge to me because, yes, I pray for my family and I pray the word over my family. But I don't know how many times I've ever sat there and thought, God, how much you love them, even more than I do, way more than I do. And so, you know, I have just been so challenged in that. I mean, I've left, and just every day, I'm just saying, God, show me how to live like this. Show me how every day to get up and live like that so that I can be who you've created me to be, so that I can reach who you've created me to reach.
Thank you. I'm going to come back here to the Fernandez family. Who got something? Ingo. Hey.
For me, it was so challenging, what everything that he was saying. And I'll tell you a quick story. Friday night, when we were sitting here, I could tell my wife wasn't enjoying the service. And because she was fidgeting and she was looking at her clock, and that's not her. And God was speaking to me, and he was telling me, she's not enjoying the service. You need to love her. You need to, not everybody picks up everything at the same time. And not that I'm more spiritual than her, but just that people pick it up at different times. And you need to be patient with her. you need to be calm with her. And I was, okay, God, okay, God, okay, God. And we got home, and she served me this wonderful soup, and we were talking, and she told me, she said, I'm not going tomorrow morning. And just like that, my flesh just jumped up. And I got mad. I said, how is it you're not going? This is the word of God. Yeah, how are you, you crazy? What's going on here? And I got so mad at her that I threw the soup down. I put the soup down. I said, I'm going to bed. I'm out of here. And I went to bed. And it's weird because I went to bed and actually fell asleep like that. And God woke me up like around 4 in the morning. And I was like, what did I just do? I just heard this man of God telling us to love our family. I heard God's voice telling me to be patient with her. And in an instant, my flesh jumped up and did the. I felt just like what Paul says: you do what you don't want to do. I was like, I did what I didn't. And we woke up and we had a long talk, and I apologized, and I told her I was so sorry for what I had done. And I say that to you guys because we've heard a lot of stuff here, and we heard a lot of good stuff this weekend, and we really need to guard our hearts because we're all excited now, and that's great. Next month, next year, 6 months from now, that excitement that we have going here, we can't let that stop. We each need to kind of build each other up, you know, when it talks about iron sharpening iron, and we need to stay with loving one another and being, you know, there hearing what God has for each one of us and just supporting each other. I think that's going to be probably more important right now than it probably ever has been in a long time, so. Just a word of warning for everybody. And I flew out of Augusta, so I actually got to see Dan when he was at the gate that day. And I told him that story. I told him, you need to give people a warning because the enemy's going to come and he's really going to try to do something. And I told him that same story. But, it's just we got to be careful. We really got to grab a hold of a special word that I think God's given to us, so. Got to be careful with it.
Wow. Thank you, man. Thank you for your honesty and vulnerability in sharing that. Wow. Hey, Dane. Come on up here, man. This is so good. Thank you guys for sharing.
Along with that, I remember, like I said, nobody owes you anything. The key thing that struck me is when he said, when you say, I love you, mean it and expect anything. And I think when we don't expect anything, we won't have any disappointments.
And that's the key thing for me.
That's good. That's really good. Short and sweet. Come on, Matt. Mr. Wiley, math teacher.
There was a lot of things we got out of this, but one of the things that really caught me early on was he's like, why are you letting other people define who you are? Why are you giving someone else that's just as broken as you that much power in your life? And it really struck me because I've had kids in middle school that'll be like, oh my gosh, my day's so horrible. Why are you letting them? And I'm guilty of it myself. Why are you letting someone else that's hurt and broken just like you tell you your self-worth instead of being who you are created to be, who God created you to be? And so that to me, if I was like, if I could get that in to someone at an early age, you know, these people you go to school with, these people you call your friends, they don't determine your worth. You know, you were made with a purpose. Live your purpose. And just love them and know that they're probably responding in a place of hurt.
Amen, brother. That was good. Well, I could barely sit still throughout the services with Dan. If you sat near me, I was going, dang, ouch, oh my gosh. And Taryn, she's like, mm-hmm. Especially parenting out of frustration and not parenting out of love. that was something that God was dealing with me definitely heavily. It's so funny how easily we let ourselves get frustrated and just attack that person, you know, that child that's looking to you to be, you know, their example and their everything. And, so that, the whole parenting from love, and I definitely am expecting God to help me with that. But then also not letting reactions or attitudes from other people influence you so much, kind of like what Matt's saying, that it just completely throws off your day. And, I know that saying about if mama's not happy, nobody's happy. Well, it affects the people in your household. And, if we could get that revelation, don't let it get on you, you know, don't let that affect you. That was really good. And seemed like there was a whole bunch of things. I hope y'all are re-listening, because yes. I've been re-listening. I'm like, yep, work on me, Lord.
That was a good growl, Terry. Thank y'all. Man, so good, so good. Well, listen, we could really like be here the rest of the night chatting about the things that God showed us. But I want to challenge you to share those things with the people in your world. You know, share those things that you're learning, and share the videos that are on YouTube. And it's a great ministry tool. You know, we talk about giving you tools to use to minister to people, like turning them on to something that's changed your life and a revelation that's challenged you in this way. It's going to benefit them in a huge way. I was talking to somebody in the church today, and they were concerned about, you know, some of their family members who are, you know, struggling financially and otherwise and spiritually. And they were thinking about, okay, what can I do? How I need wisdom to know what to do, to how to minister to them. And so many times we just want to give financially, you know, throw money at an issue, you know. And in a lot of ways, that's not the answer. What they really need is transformation, right? They really need to know how to believe God for themselves to get them out of the bind that they're in. And so these messages, what we experience this weekend of transformation, is a great resource for us to share with the people in our worlds. And just like Ingo said, you know, let's continue to lift each other up and hold each other accountable to these things, and remind people, not in a way of coming down on them, but reminding them, hey, that's not who you are. You're better than this, and you've got a higher potential than this. You're not living the life Jesus paid to give you. And do it in a way that's going to call somebody up to a higher place, and show people grace, show them love, and live out of that true identity of Christ in you. So we'll let you out a few minutes early. Let's stand. We'll pray. You've been in church. If you were here at all four services, you were here for hours and hours and hours. And hopefully that did you some good. But I'm going to reward you with an extra 7 minutes tonight. Okay. Father, we thank you for your truth and your grace in our lives. May we be truly transformed by the renewing of our mind. May these truths get in the inside of us, and may we live out the identity of Christ in our worlds to impact people around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Go and be blessed. We love you. See you Sunday morning, 10:30. Going to be a great service.